From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Oakland.
Hello from South Berkeley, below Ashby.
I live in North Richmond.
Kentfield.
Oh, I live in San Jose, near Campbell.
Bayview.
Coming up, we'll ride along with a team trying to make a dent in San Francisco's homelessness problem.
Lives change. That's the coolest thing ever.
Then, something that doesn't get talked about much, how homeless women cope with getting their period.
I would just use toilet paper, but it is hard, especially with nowhere to go to wash, to shower.
And a group helps provide some of the daily needs of homeless people.
In the same way that shelters don't worry as much about food, because we have these amazing food banks, we don't want them to worry about clean underwear or socks.
We're kicking off a week of reporting on homelessness today on Cross Currents. We're devoting this whole week to coverage of homelessness in the Bay Area. It's part of a coordinated effort with media organizations around the Bay to highlight the homelessness crisis. First, we're going to hear from an organization that's interacting with this crisis firsthand. While most people are on their way to sleep, San Francisco's Homeless Outreach Team, or SF HOT, is just beginning its graveyard shift. The team responds to the immediate needs of thousands of people living on the city's streets. Some need blankets or medical attention. There are also legal issues like noise violations, public urination, or blocking the sidewalk. Other cities may call in police squads or ambulances to address these situations, but those responses can be costly or seen as too punitive. The HOT team provides a lighter touch, and they don't disappear when the crisis is over. Last year, KALW's Liza Veal rode along with the HOT team in this story.
There are usually only a few points of contact between the world of San Francisco's homeless and the rest of the city. Passers-by do or do not give change. Some residents do or do not face losing their own homes. And then there's the HOT team. They work on the street with people who are homeless every day, like rope ladders the city throws out at night, trying to make a path back.
Knock, knock, anybody home?
Home, in this case, means a tent or tarp. We're under a tangle of freeway overpasses where 101 divides SoMa and becomes 80. I realize I'm here every day. We're underneath my route home.
Your husband's out here with you? Just not here right now?
Yeah, he's
okay,
just
so
here right
sometime
now.
This evening, someone's gonna roll by with a couple blankets for you, okay?
Okay.
One of the two SF HOT teammates I'm riding with, Kathleen Lee, points up at the overpass. She tells me during this winter's huge storm, many people stuck it out.
Many, many people.
Even though the city organized emergency shelters.
I want gals to say, I'm from Louisiana. I'm used to hurricanes. Bring it. Just bring it.
Tonight, the HOT team is making the rounds, checking in and offering services to each person they meet, like Jennifer Hans-Williams.
They offered a shelter bed for a woman, but I can't be in shelters because of my borderline personality disorder. I can't be around people. It makes me go panic.
Williams and her husband seem to be in their 30s. They look exhausted. Their big coats are worn out. William says, beyond the panic, the other reason she doesn't want to head to a shelter is because she'd be separated from her partner.
My husband and I are both positives, you know, with HIV, so we can't be separated. We have to take our meds every day. He's my baby, and we're healthy because of each other, and if we're not together, he'll go downhill, and I'm not going to let that happen. We'd rather be on the street. We want to go inside, though.
The HOT team offers them gloves and socks. And then we head off along the row of tents and makeshift shelters lining the chain-link fence. People pop their heads out and chat with Lee and her teammate, Scott Prentice. I'm not allowed to record the exchanges because of strict confidentiality policies. So I watch out of earshot.
So did you just ask them, do you need anything, or did you ask them specific things?
I offered services that we are able to fulfill right now.
Everything from ponchos to drug rehabilitation, withdrawal help, or shelter beds. What's surprising is how many people say no to all of the above.
If they don't want anything, I'll always tell them to call us, and I'll tell them I will definitely come back and check on them. We're back here all the time.
And did you offer those people shelter?
Oh yeah, well, many times. All these people don't want shelter, they have tents.
Yeah, you dry, you look warm.
The rain starts to ease up. Lee tells me the HOT team sees getting their clients into shelter as a first step.
It feels like a more tangible connection to other services possible.
But there are a lot of reasons people would rather stick on the street.
I don't like shelters. I was raped in a shelter in Portland, Oregon. So I try not to go to them.
That's Christopher Posen. He's 23 now.
Been homeless since I was 15.
Posen is baby-faced, but unsmiling. He says surviving on the streets is not just about self-defense. It's also about having people to depend on.
My best friend, he's got a heart of gold. Every single time I've had my backpack stolen, he's the one that's found it, or found a new one for me.
He thinks his route off the streets will be finding a job.
There's nothing more in the world that I want than to get a steady, real job.
But he says he's been turned away for not having a home address. He manages to find gigs like landscaping, restoring windows.
I'm a glazer. So I've done that.
What if you were going to be homeless for the rest of your life?
I might kill myself if I knew that I would never, ever get off the street. I'd probably kill myself.
This is Bates. Go ahead. 013.
All night long, the hot team is getting calls from the police department, the fire department, and 311. Like this one, to pick up a guy in the Castro tripping on hallucinogens.
Oh, there he is. I got him.
Hey, how are you?
The hot team came. We negotiated on what my name was and my birthday and my dissemi-reality. And the fact that I own Jupiter.
Oh man, your chariot has arrived.
He follows them to the car, and they head off to a shelter. The night I rode along with the hot team was not filled with crisis. But what struck me is the stasis, the constant, routinized suffering.
You probably never experienced that. It's really strange. It's a really strange place to be. It's its own kind of slight mental illness because it's kind of electric and tingly. You really are on high alert all the time. It's like your most fearful time, and that's where you stay.
That empathy comes from personal experience. Lee has her own story. For years, she lived in a house in Sacramento with her partner. They had their own business, painting and renovating houses.
And we also had a heroin habit that was decades old. It was our own little secret.
In the economic downturn, their business went under.
We just lost work and we hung on for about 9 months and then ended up with our hound dog and us in our little car. And we were recycling, trying to maintain our habits. And then, of course, when you stick your head in enough trash cans, you're going to get sick. So we got really sick. And then the car blew up at that same time.
The hot team found them right as they hit rock bottom. They gave her and her partner antibiotics and vouchers for heroin detox.
And now we've both been clean for over 5 years.
Are you still together?
Yeah. Oh, we've been together 31 years. That part's not going to change, yeah.
They live in the city's depleting stock of SROs, or single-room occupancy buildings. Most of the people the hot team meets every night, they won't be able to help. They say most are not able to meet them halfway. But
you never know who's going to want it until you engage and ask every single person.
And then someone that doesn't want it for months or years finally just gets sick and tired and will say, okay.
Everyone eventually may hit a breaking point where there's like, today, I got to get off the street today. Today's my day.
SF Hot exists so that when that happens, people don't have to try to do it alone.
Lives change. That's the coolest thing ever. So, look. Here I stand before you. You can be different next year than you are this year if you just walk this way. Just one step today. Just one.
In San Francisco, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents. You're
listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Being homeless in San Francisco means it's a daily challenge to get your basic needs met, whether it's eating, bathing, or using the bathroom. And for homeless women, one extra challenge arises every month when they get their periods. Think about it. What do you do without access to sanitary products, toilets, or a safe place to change your clothes, let alone shower? KALW's Liz Pfeffer brings us the story.
This subject is uncomfortable for some people to talk about, but not as uncomfortable as it is to live with every month. Just ask Kristen Devlin.
Oh my God, dude, and you know what? Totally bleeding, dude.
Devlin's arms are covered in cuts and scars. When I meet her, she's reading a Jane Austen zombie novel in a homeless encampment under an Interstate 80 overpass in San Francisco. She's 31 and gets a regular period. She even has an app on her phone to track it.
It sucks, dude. Like, one of the hardest things really is, like, probably gotta be just finding places to change your dude. Like, really? That and, like, you know, washing your clothes. So, hydrogen peroxide can be easily gotten to, like, hella cheap at the dollar stores and stuff. But, I mean, yeah, dude, yeah. And supply.
For homeless women in San Francisco, supplies like pads and tampons aren't that hard to come by if you know where to look. Shelters are required to provide feminine hygiene products. For Devlin, her product of choice is the Diva Cup, a menstrual cup you can leave in longer than a tampon and reuse.
And it is cheaper, they're cheaper than tampons, but it's like, but they're messy.
And when you're homeless, finding a bathroom or safe place to change is tough. So when your period is messy, and they often are, it can feel like a nightmare.
While there are a lot of really wonderful services that are both open to men and women.
Kemi Roll leads street outreach services for the San Francisco Women's Community Clinic.
There are different needs for those populations. And if you can imagine a homeless woman who might be struggling with, issues of trauma, issues of violence, might be currently using, going into a male-dominated space might not be the safest space for her.
This particular outreach program provides hygiene supplies from toothpaste to tampons to between 90 and 150 homeless women a week.
If a woman doesn't have supplies and she's living on the street, what does she do?
It can look a few different ways from, you know, doing things like makeshift supplies such as using toilet paper, even though, again, for someone who's under-resourced, having access to something like toilet paper is actually pretty significant. And oftentimes, our clients don't have anything, so they may be bleeding in their clothes.
And having soiled clothes can add to the judgment around the appearance and odor of homeless people, Roll tells me. Not only is it humiliating and damaging to a woman's self-esteem, there's also a physical health risk. And improvising with unsanitary products or leaving them in too long can lead to vaginal infections that lower the immune system.
It's not like you have something in the library that gives you a handbook, you know, how to be homeless or where to find all of these resources.
This is Anna. She asked that I not use her last name. She says she became homeless 2 years ago after being displaced from her apartment. Today, she's getting a free lunch at Martin DePore House of Hospitality. She says her first 6 months of homelessness were absolute misery.
You want to preserve your dignity as a human being, especially as a woman. There were times I would just use toilet paper. That's the only thing I could think of. It is hard, especially with nowhere to go to shower.
Have you ever discussed this with other homeless women that you know?
No. Sometimes it's almost too painful to discuss something like this once you've gone through it. But a lot of times when a person is just getting into a situation that's really new and difficult in that way that you can't really connect with others easily and you don't know where to go for resources, there is no one centralized place.
During the day, she would hang around libraries with public restrooms so she had access to a toilet. When her food stamps kicked in, she would use them at 24-hour fast food restaurants with restrooms for paying customers. But even if you are a paying customer, many bathrooms have done away with the tampon for a quarter vending machine. But there is a growing movement pushing to make tampons and pads as available as toilet paper in all bathrooms.
a lot of the Bay Area companies offer that, and a lot of more progressive businesses do.
That's Nancy Kramer. She's been interested in this tampon problem since 1982, when she visited the Apple headquarters in Cupertino and saw something she'd never seen before: free tampons and pads in the women's restroom.
But it's absent in the airport in San Francisco. It's absent in a lot of restaurants in San Francisco. It's absent in the schools in San Francisco. So there are many places that it absolutely is not the case where those items are accessible to people when they need it.
Kramer isn't a homeless advocate. She's a women's advocate who says the menstrual cycle is a natural bodily function. She says if men got periods, we wouldn't be having this conversation. In comes Free the Tampons, an organization Kramer started that's pushing for free feminine hygiene products in every bathroom nationwide, at the expense of the business owner. That sounds expensive, but the organization has also been working to help develop timed tampon dispensers that would prevent abuse of complementary products.
We have toilet paper that takes care of the other bodily functions that we use the restroom for, but I think it's a bit of a gender equality issue.
Internationally, tampon drives, like canned food drives for people in need, are growing in popularity. Some people acknowledge that it's an overlooked basic need. But even if sanitary products become accessible to every woman, here in San Francisco, homeless women will still struggle to find safe places to use them. For Cross Currents, I'm Liz Pfeffer.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Meeting personal hygiene needs is hard when you live on the street, but a new nonprofit is trying to change that. Simply the Basics launched just last year, and it's providing homeless shelters and nonprofits with basic hygienic needs like tampons, but also soap, toothpaste, deodorant, and other personal care items that help keep people healthy, but also help them live with dignity. It's called the Hygiene Bank. Megan Freebeck is founder of Simply the Basics. She talked with me in our studios this morning.
We really began with the idea that you can't focus on any goals like mental health or sobriety or even just general administration at a nonprofit if you're spending hours trying to get toilet paper and feminine hygiene products and soap for your clients. So we wanted to remove that challenge.
And you found that was happening, just like that was a burden or a challenge?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it was the inconsistency of donations. A nonprofit, a shelter might receive 50 boxes of soap 1 week mm-hmm. that they couldn't even store and then go months with nothing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what we're doing is solving the operational problem. We will take that soap off their hands and give it to them as they need it. We did a survey of the shelters in the Bay Area and the homeless programs. And it turned out that on average, over 12 hours of staff time a week was spent just on handling donations from people who should be working on clients and mm-hmm. should be helping them get out of homelessness.
Right. So let's talk about this stuff. You talked about soap. What else is there that's important to do?
We really want the clients and the shelters to define what they need. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it, is it's not up to us to decide what is your need. So,
and what are they saying?
Clean socks and underwear are
really big.
Yeah. Definitely shampoo, soap. We try to provide items with dignity and choice as well. So we found that, you know, we were at first making the mistake of giving the same shampoo to everyone, but different ethnicities have different hair and different needs. So now we're really trying to make sure that each individual has a need that suits them. Dignity is the word that we say over and over
Interesting.
Again.
Interesting. And so the shelter or the organization lets you know.
Yes.
Even like the demographics of the people.
Yeah, we ask them right off the bat the ages, the demographics. We ask them what are the basic needs, but then what else would build confidence? You know, a women's program, it's not just about shampoo and lotion, but it might be about makeup. It might be about, you know, perfumes or deodorant, something that could really build confidence again as well.
Hmm.
In the same way that shelters don't worry as much about food, because we have these amazing food banks, we don't want them to worry about clean underwear or socks anymore.
Because it's not just about feeling good about yourself, it's also about health.
Absolutely. We are considering ourselves just as much a homeless program as a public health policy program. You know, people who are homeless, they rarely die of hunger anymore in the United States. But they do die of infection, and they are going to the emergency room a lot. And when we spoke to San Francisco General, we asked them, aside from overdose, why do people come in? And it's infection. They're getting heart disease because of gingivitis, because they can't brush their teeth. They have foot diseases, skin diseases, all these things that could be preventable with very, very basic hygiene care. So it's both about dignity and appearance. I couldn't imagine even coming here today without having washed my face and brushed my teeth. But it is about overall health and making sure that people can continue to walk to their next social service appointment because they have clean socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the power of that I feel good about myself? What does that do for somebody, do you think?
You know, depression and self-esteem are so interwoven with homelessness. And both for our providers, you know, a little story of when we did that first feminine hygiene product drive, we did include makeup samples and perfumes and other kind of higher needs. And when we brought them to a domestic abuse shelter, I met a woman there who said, I never slept on the street, but for months I haven't been able to feel like myself. And just to be able to sit with the other women there and swap makeup and feel not just presentable, but feel confident again was so huge. It was huge for me. It made me want to keep doing this. It was huge for her. And I asked her, you know, what do you do with your daytime? She said, right now she stays at the center. She doesn't leave. But what she would like to do is she would like to visit the library. She'd like to visit social work. She would like to visit, you know, job interviews and all these things that you can't really do if you don't feel good about yourself.
Right, right. Yeah. What did you do before this, and what brought you into this, and why? Yeah. What does it do for you?
I come from Chicago, and homelessness is a big issue there, too. And I worked at a homeless shelter that was interim housing, so you really got to know the clients, and they stayed there. And so moving out here, I do also work with San Francisco Suicide Prevention during the day. So an amazing organization that deals with mental health, and we had a lot of callers who are homeless on the lines. And having this connection to working in homelessness in Chicago and hearing people who are homeless, I almost expected them to talk about how hungry they were or how they needed housing. But so much of what they would say they needed on the lines was, I just need somewhere to go to the bathroom. I just need somewhere to shower. So, you know, where it came from was already having worked in homelessness, but I would walk down the street, and you can't walk a few blocks in San Francisco right now without seeing someone experiencing homelessness. And I felt a little bit like when you go through a breakup and you always have that image of couples and your past in your mind. So I wanted to reconnect to that. I wanted to do something. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would become this big. I definitely thought it'd be a one-time feminine hygiene drive and I would feel satisfied. But I'm definitely not satisfied yet. There's a long way to go. And hopefully we will get to a point where, just like you know, there's 10 places to get a hot meal every single day in the Bay Area. I want it to be the exact same about a hot shower. So that's the goal.
That's Megan Freebeck, founder of Simply the Basics. We'll show you how you can help out. Go to KALW.org and click Cross Currents. And we'll continue to cover homelessness all this week on the show. Tune in tomorrow. We'll follow a disabled activist as he gathers information for his next article in Street Spirit. It's the East Bay newspaper that covers homelessness issues.
Most of my writing is about what I see going on the streets, that kind of what I see is injustice, kind of insights into why things are the way they are.
That's tomorrow on Cross Currents. And if you have any thoughts on homelessness, we want to hear about them. Email us at news@kalw.org. Our team includes Lisa Cantrell, Leela Day, Jurgen Klemm, Allison Levitsky, Casey Miner, James Rowland, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Syra Trejo. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Angela Johnston. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by The Royal Panic. They play the Stork Club in Oakland on Wednesday, and you can find all the details at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Gonna be my-